It's time for your week daily look at the NBA and your Charlotte Hornets. It's time for the Hive O'Clock Alarm.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Good morning, Hornets fans. Hope springs eternal for the Charlotte Hornets because they have a home game coming up tomorrow night. And we got, I don't know, depending on how you look at it, we got some positive news on Nick Batum's injury. We first had the report from Chris Haynes of Cleveland.com on Twitter that Nick Batum could or was expected to miss the rest of the series versus the Heat, but now word comes from the team that it's actually a foot strain after the MRI revealed that, and they've only ruled Nick Batum out of Game 3. Game 4 status up in the air, and certainly his status for the rest of the series up in the air. David Walker joining me here on the Hive O'Clock Alarm. David, what do you make of all of this injury news to Nick Batum and its changing status?
Yeah, I guess it's not surprising to see a little bit of the mixed messages coming out, just considering the sources, different directions they're coming from. I still don't count on him for this series, and maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just hearing that initial word first.
Mr. Doom and Gloom.
The whole series, or maybe it was just how he went down and some of the players' reactions around him. But I would be surprised if he came back, but that doesn't mean he won't. I don't know. I mean, we're not doctors, but all we can do is give out what we hear.
Right. And, you know, well, by what we hear from the players and the coaches who looked at that ankle or looked at that foot after he injured it, and it looked brutal. I mean, that turn was severe. It was the same foot and ankle that he turned against Boston just a few weeks ago. So, you know, this could be a re-injury. You know, it's interesting, I think, that you have this situation where it looks like he could miss the rest of the series, but now they only rule him out of Game 3, and you don't know whether it's, you know, Nick Batum wanting to do everything in his power to fight back and get into this series and make an impact, or as our former host and editor of Queen City Hoops, Spencer Percy, pointed out on Twitter, there could be a little bit of, you know, he has a max contract in the as a possibility in the offseason. Could this be, you know, a recognition that he hasn't done quite enough to make his case that he deserves that, or, you know, question marks surrounding his fragility or the fragility of that foot, you know, maybe wanting to dispel some of that. What do you think of that, David?
I think he's, I mean, first of all, I think he's done enough in the season to warrant the contract at this point. I mean, I don't know. Ankle turns are going to happen. I think if it was the regular season, you'd see him marked out for, you know, a week. I don't think he'd be trying to come back for a game. So he turned it on Wednesday, so it wouldn't quite be a week if he played on Monday, right? But I think it's more that he wants to do everything he can to be out there, which I'm sure is true. But as far as the contract, I think his season speaks pretty much for itself. I mean, he had an injury last year, but it wasn't to the ankle, so it wasn't to the foot. So that's not a chronic area. And like I said, he's still young enough. I think he's done enough this year that the contract should take care of itself. So I think it's more of just he definitely wants to get back. The Hornets don't want to, you know, say anything definitive either way at this point. And also they're probably crossing their fingers that he can't come back. So that would be my take on it.
Well, yeah, that was going to be my next question, David. What's the impact with him out of Game 3 in your mind? What's the biggest thing that the Hornets will miss from not having Nick Batum in Game 3?
Well, you saw him in Game 1. He was the only guy that came out ready. Now, didn't score as effectively in Game 2 and, of course, missed some of the end of that game. But we talked about it yesterday, and I'm just curious to see when your boy Jeremy Lamb gets on the floor because, you know, he hasn't played. He didn't play in Game 1, I don't think. I know he didn't play in Game 2. So is Clifford going to say, hey, we could use the extra length? We'll just see what happens as far as Lamb and sometimes the lapses he has. That's the biggest thing I'll be looking for right now because they're going to miss his shot-making ability, but also his ability to create. and everybody's played better at home. So you really wanted to see him and the rest of the team get home and have a good shot. I mean, what do you think about that? Do you see Lamb maybe finally playing in the series as a result of this?
Well, this is a, David, this is a perfect segue into what we wanted to do this morning for the 5 o'clock alarm.
I've been doing the podcast for a while.
We're going to play a little over and under, and why don't we start with you, David, in that in the first over and under that you have with Jeremy Lamb.
Yeah, yeah. So the over-unders for Jeremy Lamb, what did I say, Doug? 20 minutes
20
of playing
minutes.
Time over-under?
All right.
That seems like a lot to considering he's played zero.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the under pretty safely here because I don't think that Jeremy Lamb gets the start in place of Nick Batum. I think it's safe to say it's probably going to be Jeremy Lin that gets that start. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't think, you know, if he can't even pick up a few minutes in game one when the thing was in the books, or excuse me, he was in garbage time. He did play 4 minutes in that game one. But I mean, I don't think that he has the trust to carry a big role. I could be completely wrong. And we've seen crazier things, but I don't see him playing 20 minutes in game three.
It would be a bit shocking, but I am going to take the over, Doug.
We'll keep track of this.
Why.
Don't you worry.
Don't you worry. I'm going to be pulling for him to go in. A little bit of my reasoning, Doug. I mean, everyone who's played in these games has played right at about 20 minutes. Kaminsky only played 17 in the first game. But Lynn, Jefferson, and all the starters all played at least 20 minutes in that first game. And then the second game, the same thing was true. So anyone playing significant minutes was left in there to play. So except for Zeller, who only played 13 minutes. But so it's right around that. I think if he gets a shot and maybe hits a couple threes and things turn around. So we'll see.
Yeah, but I mean, you're essentially trying to figure out whether he goes with Daniels or Lamb off the bench or possibly Spencer Hawes. So I think he goes with one of those guys over Lamb, you know, bringing him into that 8-man rotation.
Sure.
So that's my reasoning behind going with the under. Okay, my first over and under, it has to do with assist. Charlotte, they got 9 assists in game two, over and under 10 assists when they come back home.
Over for sure. They've had 11 and 9. They've got to do better than that at home. The ball movement is going to be better. The shot making is going to be better. That's an over.
Yeah, I'll take the over as well. Not because I think that 9 assists, as I talked about yesterday, not because I think 9 assists was necessarily a bad thing, but just because I think Miami is going to slightly change their defensive strategy and try to reel back the 3-point defense and try to do a little to stop Al Jefferson. And I think that's going to open up some ball movement and close down the middle of the floor for Kemba Walker just a wee bit. And Lin, too. I think if you play Kemba and Lin together for significant minutes, then Miami will have to adjust and have to close down the middle of the lane. So in that, it's going to open up some opportunities on the outside. Okay, what's next? Over and under.
Over under, Marvin Williams, 5 made field goals.
Ooh, so he went 0 for 10 in game 2, 5 made. That'd be a big jump for Marvin in this series, who's really struggling with his shot, with his confidence. I'm going over, and the reason I'm going over is because head coach Steve Clifford said on primetime on WFNZ 610 AM that he's going to look to get Marvin more touches. And you think, man, 0 for 10, why would Clifford get him more touches? He said more touches in terms of Marvin going towards the rim, getting some easy baskets. And I think what Clifford means is deliberate play calls to get Marvin offense, because what we've seen so far from Marvin is he's been like the second or third when the play breaks down kind of option going towards the rim. Nothing's really being developed for him in the offense. And once Miami took away that pick and pop, it really killed Marvin Williams, his rhythm. So I look for the over here because I think they're going to try to actively to get him involved in the offense.
I agree. I think he's going to have a bit of a breakout game here. It wouldn't take much at this point to have a breakout game, but I think he's going to get back on track a little bit and at least give you 5 made field goals.
All right, my next over and under is Hassan Whiteside, his field goal percentage, 65. And that's a tough one because you think 65, that's high, but he is on fire.
Yeah, and I don't see much signs of him slowing down. I'm still going to go with the over there, which is going to put a challenge for the Hornets. But, you know, they did okay on him, but much better in the second game there. And, again, being at home, you got to have some things change a little bit. But he's gonna just going to be tough to stop, and it's almost like he's going to get his. And if he has to give up something, not that they're giving it up, but, I mean, I think that they'd rather concentrate and hopefully cut down on those threes. And if that gives Whiteside a few more shots at goal and close, then so be it. But I'm going to go over.
Yeah, I like the over as well, especially when you consider that Hassan Whiteside is essentially returning home. And he is not shy about this chip on his shoulder that he has towards the Hornets for what he considers them not giving him a workout and conflicting reports about that. But I think he definitely carries a chip on the shoulder about his hometown, and he's going to have friends and family in the stands. And so I think he will continue his hot performances. Had he come into this game a little off, I would have said the opposite, that he would have tried to ramp things up and that it wouldn't have worked out for him. But he's playing at such a high level. He's so locked in. He's so focused. I do think that Hassan Whiteside will continue to have success against the Hornets inside, mainly because they really just don't have a body that can really do much about what Hassan Whiteside is doing inside. All right.
Yeah, he's missed all of two shots.
So there you go. So taking
actually four. Sorry.
Yeah, you know, no. I'm not Nate Silver.
Haven't missed many.
I'm not Nate Silver. This isn't 538, but I think that's a safe bet to take the over there. Yeah. All right, final one from you, over and under.
Final one from me, Doug, is about the Miami three-point shooting, over under 45%.
I think that's under. I think that you're coming into a hostile environment, and as I said on last night's show, I think they fed off their home crowd and they hit threes at a rate that they just haven't seen all season. I think they'll be a little more aggressive with Goran Dragic. They won't go under quite as much. I think you still have to play guys. You have to treat guys on defense like they've shown all season. But I think they'll be a slightly more aggressive with Goran Dragic on the pick and roll. You don't expect Justice Winslow to hit another three. So I think the percentage definitely comes down. It's going to mirror, I think, what you saw from Miami in the second half of game two, where they shot 33%. I could see it being somewhere in the 35, 36% range, which after these past two games, the Hornets can certainly live with.
Yeah, this madness has to stop. It's the bottom line. It cannot keep going in. I'm glad you mentioned that second half, because if you're looking for a silver lining, if Hornets fans are looking for something to build on, and I'm sure the team is, you know, they gave up 43 points in the second quarter and 43 points in total in the second half against the Heat on Wednesday night. So maybe things are going in the right direction for the Hornets, but there's no way they could keep up that 3-point shooting. It's just so out of character.
You know,
and the Hornets are going to lock down.
You know what's interesting about that second half too, David? So all the talk coming into this was that Miami had reinvented their offense after Bosch got injured, and they started pushing the pace, and that's what increased their offense. But if you look at game one, the pace was 85. If you look at the first half of game two, where Miami dominated in that second quarter, the pace was under 90. In the second half, where Charlotte was able to finally contain them somewhat on defense, the pace was up above 95. I think it was 96 to be exact. So that, again, I think that shows you that Miami is doing things in this series that defy conventional wisdom on this team and defy the logic of this team. And maybe the Hornets could look to push the pace in this second game, in this third game, and try to, because I think what it did is it forced them to take transition buckets that didn't go in. It forced them into ISO situations, which the Hornets were trying to prevent Dwayne Wade and Joe Johnson getting into those isolation situations. But it actually worked out in the Hornets' favor, I thought, in the second half. So, you know, I don't know what that changes about game three, but they'll certainly look at that. All right, my final over and under for this 5 o'clock alarm, Jeremy Lin could get the start. We haven't gotten word about who will take Nick Batum's place in the starting lineup, but I want to know, Jeremy Lin points in this game, over and under, 13, lucky number 13.
Oh, we're going over for that one. I think he will get the start. I like your line of thinking there, and we've seen how effective he can be and how much he enjoys that starting position. He seems to get a extra charge from it, and he plays well at home. And so I look for him to be a factor offensively in this game. So I'm going over 13 points for Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, and if Miami continues their defensive strategy with Kemba and Jeremy Lin playing a significant number of minutes, I think that could spell trouble for Miami, because if you have two guys who can get into the lane that don't necessarily need three-pointers to score a lot of points, and you decide to give up the lane, I think that's a mistake. And so I'm going over as well. I just think Jeremy Lin, if he gets that starting role, he always steps his game up to another level, and he'll be in front of the home crowd, and he's played well in Charlotte this year. I expect big things from Lin. So if he doesn't perform, I'll be disappointed, because he's shown time and time again that in these big moments when he's given the opportunity to get heavy minutes, that he can still perform at that, not necessarily Linsanity level, but you know, this new form of Linsanity where he just provides a solid presence on offense.
I was going to say, Doug, do you feel like this is the bounce back that we've been waiting for, that we were waiting for, we got a little taste of in the second game? I mean, this resilient team has been able to bounce back all year, and they've got to do it Saturday night. So are you feeling any better?
I'm feeling okay. I'm going to be honest here. Losing Batum, I think, for the long term in this series, if he cannot come back for this series, I don't see the Charlotte Hornets winning this series. Because I talked about it with Justin after the show went down, which is, you know, usually you want to talk during the show, but
you're going to capture that.
Match. We didn't get this one on mic, but I said, you know, if the Hornets are down five in the fourth quarter of a game against the Heat, and it's in the middle of the fourth quarter, down five, that ball's going to Batum to take a tough shot, and he's normally going to make it. And those are the kind of situations that you need Batum in. Like, Kemba's going to take the game winners. Kemba's going to take the, if it's, you know, last 2 minutes of the game, the ball's going to Kemba Walker. But you need a guy, you're down five, middle of the fourth quarter, you desperately need a bucket to stem the tide and get things going back in the right direction. That's what Nick Batum provided time after time for the Charlotte Hornets. And I think that situation is eventually going to come up. And if they don't have Nick Batum, then I think Miami, you know, eventually takes this series. So that's why I'm feeling good about a bounce back in game three, but I think the Hornets have to get Nick Batum back. And luckily we got that encouraging information about Nick Batum possibly could make a return as soon as game four. So that will do it for us, Hornets fans. Thanks so much for listening to the Hive O'Clock Alarm. Follow us on Twitter at Hive Talk Live, and make sure to check us out on Fox 46 or fox46charlotte.com on Sunday, usually around 8 to 8:30 a.m. We'll tweet out the exact time, and we'll discuss Saturday's game on Good Day Charlotte. Until then, all hail the teal and purple.